Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 14th, the year of our Lord, 2024, and this is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. It's an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast this day. Here we are in the midst of summer and all the activities and things that go with that. And so for a moment, we spend some time together to reflect on God's good word, to be quiet, to hear the music of our faith, to consider God's good word. And to begin all of that, let's do what we do around here. We begin by breathing, taking in the gift of life and thanking God for this gift. So take in a big breath. Hold it. Savor it. This is the gift of life that comes as a gift from our good God. And as you breathe and as you give thanks to God for every breath, call to mind those things that fill you with joy, the things that light you up inside. Maybe even take a moment and open your arms and turn your face toward the heavens. And in this posture, let's begin together in worship. Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. And you can find that bulletin just to the left of where you found today's podcast under that area that says sermon notes. Just click on that icon there and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, God's Spirit moves across the face of the earth. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, we gather together, united by God's Spirit, to celebrate God's glory and proclaim His praise. Let us worship together. Our scripture reading comes from 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then we jump ahead to verse 12b through 19. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baali Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God. And Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people. The whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all of the people went back to their homes. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, we call out to you, we pray, and we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. And we need your help every time we engage with our sacred stories. We need some help. We need some guidance as to what it is you want us to learn, to take away, to take unto ourselves, so that we could draw closer to you and to one another and to your church every time that we embrace our stories. And so we pray, meet us here. We pray that you would focus our thinking, that you would save us from distraction and misinterpretation, so that we might receive the blessing that you have in store for each and every one of us. We pray this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, when's the last time that your faith inspired you to dance? Or to make music? I have to say, for me, it has been like way too long. I mean, the dancing, I've never been much of a dancer. And I can barely carry a tune. I pick up a guitar once in a while. But I rarely do so as an expression of faith. I have to confess to a bit of jealousy for the musicians I know around church and people for whom dancing just seems such a natural expression for them. It's definitely not for me. And perhaps that's fine. Some of us are not singers or musicians or we're not dancers, but then how is it that we're in moments of just kind of uninhibited joy about the presence of God in our lives? You can see it in more charismatic expressions of worship, where people allow themselves to throw their hands toward heaven and shout out some alleluias during the sermon. However it is, perhaps one of the things we can take away from this story is that maybe we could be a little bit more like David, as we celebrate the presence of God with us, which is what they're celebrating as this ark comes to town, the ark of God, the place where the Ten Commandments reside, and the presence of the Holy radiates from this beautiful piece of art that at one point was lost to the enemy. Left in battle and captured by the Philistines, where it caused trouble in their camp, and it was returned. And now it's making its way home to the city of David, to Jerusalem. And the people are celebrating in its presence. God coming to be with them. And there's all kinds of theological questions that are implied. As you read on through chapter 6, you see that David now, with this ark in his presence, wants to build a house and this conversation he has with God. But in this moment, it's dancing and it's celebration, which is hard to come by. And even in today's lectionary reading, you may have noticed something because we have the skip, right? We have verses 1 through 5, and then we jump to verse 12. Well, there's a little situation that happens between verse 5 and verse 12. At the beginning, we see that the ark is coming from the house of Abinadab. But then as we read on, it's the ark is coming from the house of Obed-Edom. Well, there was a problem as the parade was leaving the house of Abinadab. And, well, Uzzah paid the price for it. I'll use that as a teaser. Why don't you go check that out? Read it in the Bible for yourself. And it makes you mindful as you read these stories that now, when it's time to celebrate, it's time to celebrate. Take advantage for it of it in the moment. Take it to yourself. Receive the gift. I love that David dances with abandon, and clearly then his joy is infectious and inspiring. He's like a little kid dancing around in his underwear in the street. And you can read that maybe cynically. Obviously, his first wife, Michal, does. She thinks he looks like a fool and a child dancing around like that. It's not dignified. But he's not trying to be dignified. He's there being purely joyful before God. He, like us, is tragically flawed. He is a man after God's own heart. As the story reads, God loves David. David disappoints God time and again. This is the story of the kings of Israel, one after the other, which is really the story of us. We start out maybe in this time of celebration and joy and faith, and then we get full of ourselves. Maybe things go well and we get a little complacent. Maybe things don't go well and we get cynical and bitter and our hearts get hardened. Which is why we need to gather as people of faith, prop each other up and remind one another that when the presence of God is with us, whether that's in this ark or in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup, it's a time of feast and celebration. And as we read through this parade and it's dancing and it's so full of anticipation, and then it's associated sacrifices. At the end, I'll read from verse 17 on. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings. Right here's the sacrifice. These would be the customary sacrifices that you would do in the presence of the Lord. Offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, a cake of raisins. And then all the people went back to their homes. You can read those stories of sacrifice and distribution, of feeding the multitudes, and those same multitudes retreating to their homes, and you connect it to the stories of our Lord, you connect it to every time you've received a Eucharist in your church, and you realize how you are there with them. This story is your story. It is our story. And I'll finish with this last line, because for some reason it has my attention. Then all the people went back to their homes. I think about this often, especially on the major celebrations, the major feast days, Christmas and Easter. I think about our celebrations, our observations during Holy Week. When we have more people in attendance and the music is grand, we hire musicians and more voices, the celebration's just a little bigger. It's a little bit more like this celebration of David and the others as the ark comes to town. And then there's that moment when I've had opportunity to shake the last hand and offer the last blessing, and the last car has pulled out of the parking lot. And if I'm fortunate on a day like that, I can retreat back into the sanctuary. And I can feel the presence of the celebration still in the room. And I wonder, how's everybody doing? When they went back to their homes, Are they taking the feast and the celebration into their homes? Are they taking the joy of the moment back into their homes? Because to get back home is to get back to our routine and our ordinary lives. To everything good that's happening there, but also to the bills that need to be paid and the furnace that needs to be repaired and the orthodontist appointments that we have to take the kids to. But maybe, if we take the opportunity to, we get the cake of bread and the portion of meat and the cake of raisins or whatever it is we brought from the celebration or whatever provision we have in our refrigerator, in our cupboard, and when we prepare it and break it and name it as a gift from God, in the midst of the joy and the suffering, the things that are beautiful and the things that are ugly about everyday life, we're sustained and we find hope in knowing that God is with us, in calling out to God and to naming God. The one whom we meet as followers in the way of Christ, who is intimately familiar with this story, preached the stories of his tradition as one having authority. He knew exactly what he was preaching when he preached these texts. And he shared that with them, and through the Holy Spirit shares those same things with us. And so in the midst of it all, this particular story lands in this broad narrative of 1 and 2 Samuel. And for today, I want you to focus on the celebration, the corporate celebration, the parade, and the dancing. And then the celebration that takes place when we go back to our homes to celebrate Christ in our home, God with us. And when we do, no matter what it is that we're experiencing in our lives, when we name, and even if it's a short list, when we name the blessings that are ours, we find that it's life-sustaining and joyful good news, to which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you and we pray. And we confess, O God, that we do sin. We fall short. We miss the mark. We make mistakes. Sometimes we are just willfully disobedient. But you promise us that when we come to you and we confess these things, you will forgive us. You give us the strength. You provide us with what we need to repent, to stand up and begin to walk in your way again. We are so thankful for this gift. It gives us hope and strength and courage to carry on. And it inspires us to ask the same for others. God, we pray for the people in places of power and influence. They come to mind as we read the stories of the kings of Israel. All of us, broken and flawed human beings, people easily tempted by the riches of this world, easily tempted, O God, to walk away, to chase shiny objects, to respond to the calls of people who want to feed our egos or lead us astray. And so we pray for our leaders, O God, come alongside them, show them the way. Show them the way that you have prepared for them. And for the humble, for the ordinary, the everyday, people like us, O God, we need you every hour, as the old hymn goes, every hour we need you. Right here, right now, among us and with us. And you know, God, the lists that so many of us keep. The things that we're concerned about. The things that we're anticipating that are just joyful. They fill us with hope and anticipation. All of these things, the joys and the concerns of our lives. We take a moment during this time of prayer, O God, each one of us, to share these lists with you and to be blessed by the assurance that when we share our prayer list with you, you consider each and every word. So join us here in this quiet space that we make. Hear our prayers, O God, and help us to be still and to listen for your answers. We break our silence. It seems all too soon. We thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet, and we pray, O God, help us to slow down and to practice these things in our everyday lives. And we pray, dear God, hear us as we say together a prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Join us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways on this day, I pray that we will do so a little more inclined to celebrate what is good, even if it seems small. Those moments of God light in our lives, that they would light us up, inspire us to sing or to offer a kind word, maybe even to dance. Dance in the presence of our God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us, bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.